This show is sponsored by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You're on with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. We are also joined by Gogs Mackay, one of our friendly forum moderators, who'll be joining us for the session this week. Now, before we start things off and get into kind of a lighter vein, we do have, obviously, the sad news this week that our favorite alien visitor, Mork, is no longer around. Robin Williams' death at the age of 63 was especially sad because he felt things were so bad in his life that he had to commit suicide. And I know people who have felt depressed in their lives. I occasionally suffer from depression. I just wonder what makes a person want to do something like that. So our hearts go out to Robin Williams' family. He has a daughter, Zelda, who's an actress, by the way. And we wish her the best, and it'll be interesting to see where her career goes. Robin Williams. Chris, let's go to something a little bit lighter. There's an item in our forums where this production company is trying to set up some kind of paranormal dating show, a reality show. What the heck is that about?
I don't know, Gogs. What do you think? I saw the post, and I had to click through to something else. What will they think of next? They're really scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Like Gene, I thought maybe it was some kind of spam email or something. But I did have a look. I typed into YouTube the username. There was some kind of account there. And she has got back to us kind of apologizing for making us think that it may have been spam or something. But my comment basically is, I think she was looking for people between, I don't know, 18, 25 to 35 or so. But isn't it the case that in the paranormal field, the average age, certainly in ufology, is, you know, 50s and above? There's not that many young people.
I think that's an understatement. I think it's up in the 60s.
Unless they're having like a dating show for septuagenarian divorcees, then I think they're aiming the wrong age bracket.
Also, I don't think we'd attract millennials that way. I think we turn them off, really. I mean, you have to think here how desperate TV production companies are to find the next breakout show. You know, I'm still trying to get over Storage Wars.
And I don't believe for a second this paranormal one that they were going to play it straight. There would have been something up their sleeves, I think.
Yeah.
They would have been, you know, making fun of people, probably promising that they wouldn't, but then there would have been something up their sleeves for sure.
No. Boy, I'll tell you, they are. They're scraping the bottom of the concept barrel. Jeez.
I thought Hangar One, the show that MUFON is involved in, was scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
Well, boy, was I wrong.
Well, I've also got some interesting news. I just spoke with someone that returned from the contact in the desert. It was like some sort of conference that they had 40 speakers at. And it turned into an absolute nightmare. There was a speaker riot. The power went off. They had 2,000 people way over fire code. All the porta potties were stopped up and filled up to the brim. They had no water. 2 days before the conference, they instituted special extra costs for speakers, $40 and $60 if you wanted to see the top marquee speakers. They were charging $65 for lunch, $10 for a burrito. This is just unconscionable. People were forced, they booked too many vendors. They forced the overflow vendors to be outside in 110 degree heat. What a nightmare.
Who's behind this?
Probably generated $500,000 just in entry passes for the entire show. And this is absolutely unconscionable. I think it's almost criminal.
Well, it sure does great for the UFO field to have disasters like that.
Yeah, I had a feeling about it, and I told my friend, I said, I wouldn't go to that and see that assemblage of, well, but pardon me, some of the people are just downright wacky that were on the speakers list. I mean, there were some serious speakers there. Nick was there, both Nicks, Pope and Redfern. Jim Mars was there. So they did have some, I think, serious researchers there, but then they padded it out with some just, I mean, wacky types. And, you know, if this is the direction that ufology is going in, do not use that word in my name in the same sentence. I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed to be associated in any way with the field, with these types of charlatan P.T. Barnum types, getting involved and getting 2,000 people to go to the desert and not having water. I mean, hello?
Yeah, first and foremost, just on a safety point and going over the fire code and stuff, just these basic things, never mind the, you know, $10 burrito and things like that, which is bad enough. But, you know, to put people at risk in a, you know, a place that, well, let's face it, the desert in summer is extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
For dehydration, sunstroke, this kind of thing.
Especially there around Joshua Tree in the Colorado Desert. Hey, last year, Stephen Greer, his bodyguards locked the doors and wouldn't let anybody out. And then David Wilcock came in and did the same thing.
Oh, is it the same one?
Yeah, the same guys. Yeah, it's the same conference. You know, I can't wait to get some confirmation on some of the horror stories that I've heard. I mean, the person that told me all this, I trust implicitly, and I don't think he was exaggerating. He literally left. He just walked out in disgust. He was only there from about noon to 5 o'clock, and he just walked out in absolute disgust. He just could not believe it.
Oh boy, I don't know. I worry here what's happened with a lot of these UFO events. Is that they mix the really solid people with the extremes. And MUFON has started doing that.
Right.
Without going into great detail. We'll be getting into it later. There's a story in New York Magazine called The End of UFOs by Mark Jacobson. It was cited in an article by our guest today, Micah Hanks, entitled The End of Ufology, Why Serious Research Goes Underground. Now, to preface this, in our last two shows, we had a more traditional approach to UFO investigation. We featured Don Berliner, who's been around since, well, the 1950s. He ain't a young guy anymore. And also Stanton Friedman. Both people above the age of 80. Both presenting a very traditionalist view of the subject. Previously, we had James Carrion, author of The Rosetta Deception, who's talking about the involvement of military disinformation possibly in early UFO encounters. In fact, there's an active discussion over at our forums at forum.theparacast.com. And it's possible Stanton Friedman will participate. We know James Carrion has been there, a very vociferous participant, kind of engaging with our members. This is getting really fascinating where it's going to go. I'm only worried it might get a little personal. Sometimes that happens with forum posts. You know, people sit there and they get so involved in their arguments, they get a little personal, so we have to cut back on it. But we're really getting an incredible amount of response for it. We've had a couple of messages that have been posted on behalf of Stanton Friedman. There's going to be a lot more, so we'll have to see where that goes. Before we get on to Micah Hanks, I was talking with Chris about something here. You see, we've got a lot of really fascinating changes that we're preparing to help the Paracast reach the next level. I mean, really get out there, more friendly, user-friendly to our listeners, easier to listen to the show, address some of your comments and complaints. A lot of changes are coming. But to keep you notified, we want you to subscribe to our newsletter. So we have a newsletter. If you go to theparacast.com, right there above the fold, there's a place to subscribe to the Paracast newsletter, free every week. And to get you to sign up, we're going to give you incentive, okay? Chris has volunteered to donate one of his e-books. Chris, which book do you think you want to give him?
Well, I think a good one would be Secrets of the Mysterious Valley, which is kind of the story of spending 10 years investigating high levels of weirdness in Southern Colorado, and it gives a pretty good sense and feel of what it's like to run around and put 300,000 miles on your truck.
Okay. Secrets of the Mysterious Valley, ebook free. You go to theparacast.com and sign up for our newsletter. Micah Hanks joining Gene, Chris, and Goggs in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is the coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and the coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris and Goggs McKay, we're back at the Paracast. We welcome our old friend Micah Hanks to the show. And before we got started, I was noting the avatar he uses for his Skype messages. And, you know, most of us, you know, will either show a picture of ourselves or maybe put on some kind of costume or maybe show something that represents what we're interested in, maybe a picture of your dog or something, or a child or a significant other. Instead, Micah Hanks appears without his mask for the first time. Micah, explain this.
It's the real me, yeah. Well, my Skype avatar, and this has been ever since I actually got a Skype account, because when I got one, it was for purpose of doing radio and podcasting, either me being an interviewee or contacting somebody else for an interview on one of my shows. And so I always use the traditional Grailian emblem, which is the little green guy known as the Grailian. That word being a portmanteau between, well, it's a couple of things. Gray alien, but there's also the Holy Grail reference. It's just kind of a whole, like, slew of mythology and symbolism all packed into one word. So I like people to think that I actually look like that, though. Big black eyes, green skin, you know, bald head. Yeah, I'm an alien.
We could have you speak on helium, and you can come across as Mork, maybe.
Exactly, right?
Right. You learned back in the 70s how to say nano-nano.
Indeed, yeah. And, of course, you know, mentioning Mork, you know, I think we've all had that on our minds and everything. So, you know, it's good to remember the funny little alien guy, I think, the better times, of course, referencing the late Robin Williams. So he's been on everybody's mind lately, I guess, a little.
I remember one time he appeared on the Johnny Carson Tonight Show. This was back in the early 80s, the first time he goes in the show. And normally with a comedian, what they will do is they will have you do your act. And eventually, Johnny will ask you to sit down at the desk, which is this place of honor because you're getting special attention. So he sits down at the desk, does his shtick, and then he picks up the cup from which Johnny's drinking. He takes a sip, and then he says, well, don't worry, the sores have healed.
Oh, boy, yeah. Well, you know, Robin, he had that kind of a funny kind of an off-kilter thing. You never really knew what to expect with. Some people might say the same of me or Chris O'Brien or maybe even Eugene. You never really know exactly where to or what to expect from people like that. Maybe that's a true sign of brilliance, but I think one thing remains indisputable, and that is that, you know, Robin Williams, remembering him, he was indeed, I think, a brilliant guy. It's just so sad that we see some of these people, and my aunt, I think, put it most poignantly when she said, how is it that the people who always make us laugh so much are the ones always crying on the inside?
Well,
the sad clown. It's true. All that pain comes out in his manic state, which that very much was. It came out, and he was brilliant. Mm-hmm. But then he had this sad side of him that's so unfortunate. Let's move on to some other subjects. I don't know if it's sad or not, and this kind of relates to that article that you wrote at your blog, which I think is a good starting. It's quoting this article from New York Magazine. Now, when New York Magazine writes about UFOs, that in and of itself is almost a miracle.
I would agree.
Right. Now, this article from Mark Jacobson is called The End of UFOs, and he went to a MUFON event in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, which is just outside of Philadelphia. And apparently, attendance is down. He claimed that the estimates were about 400, which is a little bit below average for UFO events these days. It's not thousands, except for that contact in the desert where they had 2,000 people and it was a mess. But anyway, the thing he said here is the fact that the people who participate in these events are getting older, and unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be attracting as many younger people. So the impression here is the speakers and those attending are very old, and the field may be dying. And I guess that's what he means by the end of UFOs. Not that people aren't seeing UFOs, but we thought what we think of as the UFO field is gone away or is going away. What's your sense?
Well, it's a really important subject to talk about, and I was very pleased to hear that you guys wanted to talk a little about this. In addition to the fact that I was amazed at the response I've gotten to my article, which, although I titled it The End of Ufology, Why UFOs Essentially, I Think, in the Study of UFOs Are Going Underground, it's a bit of a rebuttal to Jacobson's article. This has been something I've seen people talking about for a couple of years, and there are a few factors that should be taken into consideration in relation to this. One, many say that the bygone day of UFO sightings and events, we're talking about hardcore physical landing traces, a great big dome-shaped or, you know, cigar-shaped object or a saucer or something landed. We saw people getting out of it. You know, we had radiation burns. You see a lot of this in the classic, the A-Profiles, you know, the days of NICAP, you know, especially throughout the 50s, 60s, and 70s. We don't seem to have, and I think it's a fair statement to make, we don't seem to have that level of interactiveness, I think, with the phenomenon. And my colleague Nick Redfern has kind of lamented the fact that in modern times, with all the technology we have available to us, it seems that almost the best that we can get are ambiguous lights in the sky, and things which really, whether or not we can say this is or is not anomalous, very little can be determined. And so if there were a level of interactiveness with this phenomenon that maybe once was, one would say, first and foremost, maybe technology that we have available to us today should allow for a better representation of this phenomenon and maybe better documentation. Now, you could say that that's, you know, a valid statement, and also you could say that it's not. I kind of am on the fence on that, because I think that what we're dealing with is a phenomenon and a technology that is not probably, we take for granted how difficult it probably would be to document this, and also the levels of you know, how human behavior comes into play in relation to how you respond to something that seems so foreign. Another thing is that, of course, this was something that was so incredible and had such an impact on human culture, especially in the Western world, during the 50s, 60s, 70s, and even the 80s and 90s, that a lot of the kind of dwindling interactiveness of the UFO phenomenon has led to, according to some, less involvement by young researchers. Now, I just want to be upfront. People hear my voice, and because, you know, I guess it's my southern accent or something, a lot of people think I'm in my 40s or 50s. No joke. I'm 31 years old. I think I'm a pretty good example of somebody who is young, who is interested in this field. But the other thing, too, that I think is important to say, and this isn't an attack against conferences, because I've been a conference planner myself in the past, but I think that what we see at conferences, and this is exactly what Jacobson was talking about in his article, we see at conferences a representation of the field with people who often are people who are greats, who have made a name, and who have spent years researching, and so often they will be discussing things at a conference that happens today that they maybe researched decades ago. And that's good, because it definitely brings a lot of new people and a lot of new minds to this and brings interest to the subject. But by the same token, I think that there's another issue that comes about at these conferences, and that is that there are the so-called UFO celebrities who may not have as much to say, but who are the popular figures we see on television shows and things like that. Maybe there's no way to say that, guys, that doesn't sound like a criticism, but I think that in truth, and castigate me if it must be, but I think that there comes a time where we have to say, really, what is ufology? And when people are launching criticisms based on TV shows they watch and on events that they attend, is that a valid criticism of what UFO research actually is? I simply think it's not.
The average person who would have grown up and got into ufology, and the average age of the kind of conference attendee, they grew up going to the movies, sitting around the television with the family, watching TV, the radio, things like that. But maybe part of the problem is that today's younger generation, they get all their media from smartphones and the internet, and they consume media in a different way. You know, it's just not their thing to be attending conferences and stuff, and maybe we need to move forward in that way and catch the younger people, you know, the methods of media that they are into.
We have Micah Hanks joining Gene, Chris, and Goggs. You're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and foreign phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@WebTV.net. That's MrUFO@WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
I'm Kay Swirling from KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm 93 years old, and I'm a big fan of Alex Jones because he has the courage to speak his mind more than just about anyone I know. Alex is just as bothered as I am about all the advertising you hear for toxic prescription drugs that make you sicker, not healthy. I prefer to give my body all 90 essential nutrients it needs for life to prevent disease, not compound it. My favorite complete supplement is Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity, which I take every day along with EFA Plus and Beyond OsteoFX. I recommend you go online to InfoWarsTeam.com to purchase these products and make them part of your daily regimen to get healthy and live longer. InfoWarsTeam.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
It takes a lot of courage to face your own death, but I'm glad I finally did. See, I was putting off getting life insurance to protect my family, even though I knew it was important. Then my neighbor's husband died. I watched her struggle emotionally and financially. It really made me face reality. If my husband died, how would I pay the mortgage, the car payments, or keep up the life the kids and I had? I realized I needed to get us life insurance right away. So I called AIG Direct. In less than 5 minutes, I had a quote. I was shocked at how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. I feel so much better knowing my family has protection.
Call AIG Direct right now for a free, no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you can save up to 70%. Call now, 1-800-463-7479. That's 1-800-463-7479. 1-800-463-7479.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Folks, just want to remind you that if you sign up for our newsletter, the official Paracast newsletter, you do that by going to theparacast.com, theparacast.com, and there's a big sign-up section there. Those who sign up will get a copy of the ebook version of Chris O'Brien's Secrets of the Mysterious Valley. Let's progress here. We're talking about the state of ufology, a very important point here. The Gogs made, and I think Mike understands that, that the people you want to attract into this field, the people you want to attract, unfortunately, they don't go to traditional conventions. And, of course, the conventions themselves are like Disneyland. They're pretty expensive. You have to spend, what, $200, $300 for a ticket. And someone who's 25 years old and they're just kind of getting on in the working world, they have student loans to pay off, spending a couple hundred dollars and then some for a UFO convention, paying for the hotel, paying for the overpriced food, you know, that's too much for them. If you want to reach these people, you have to do it in a different way. You know, maybe online chat, something. Micah, what do you think?
Again, you know, I think that we have to be careful in the way that we discuss this, because I've got a lot of friends, for instance, you know, in MUFON. Gene, I know that you've, you know, been a member of MUFON for years, and, you know, the recent MUFON conference was the one that was not so much criticized, but which was kind of evaluated in this article that Mark Jacobson wrote. And so I don't want to come across as being someone who's attacking MUFON, and I think that there were, in fairness, a lot of researchers who take issue with things that have happened with MUFON. Just recently, you guys had James Carrion on the program, which, of course, to me is an extremely interesting conversation. conversation having to do with ghost rockets. We can address that later. But again, he's a man who I think maybe comes away from that circumstance feeling more than a bit disenfranchised after his experience. And I think rightly so. I respect him a lot, and I think he's a great researcher. A lot of people in the community don't. And so when we look at an organization like MUFON, especially when they're putting on an event, you know, it's not a direct criticism against them. I think we have to understand that when it comes to a UFO event, just like you said, Gene, and boy, are you right. Having planned conferences and attended conferences and spoken at conferences myself, I know that there are a lot of aspects we have to take into consideration, not just the cost of the ticket, which on average is about, you know, from event to event, I'd say maybe a good average is $250. If you are not local to that event, airfare is going to cost you, you know, what, anywhere from, if you're lucky, $250 to as much as $700, depending on where you're going.
And the cost of the luggage, the cost of anything they can add to that ticket to take it away from you.
Yeah, your hotel, your lodging, your food, and also you've got to take into consideration that because there is a bit of an industry about around this, and I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, I think that if an author has put hard work, boy, you know, I know you guys know this, especially you, Chris, if an author has put maybe decades of research into something, do they not have the right to go and sell that book and make as much damn money as they can? Yeah, they do. You are right that they do, and I agree because I'm a writer too. But people go to these events and they want to buy those books, and the authors have a right to sell them. And so there is this industrial kind of component to it. And all that factors into mean that you may spend more than $1,000 if you want to go to an event like this. And yet the funny thing is, knowing from, you know, organizing conferences, that a lot of these conference organizers, they aren't just rich. They aren't making tons of money doing this stuff. So it's an interesting kind of a dichotomy that we see emerge, where I think people are both attempting and hoping, you know, to invest in and make money. And by the same token, they're also trying to promote something that we as people interested in UFOs want to see more of. So where is the failing here? And it is a bit strange. So we have, again, a non-UFO-oriented source, you know, like New York Magazine, coming out and talking about the end of UFOs. And it is a little strange to me because, and it wasn't the first time this has been said, I was at the International UFO Congress. Both you guys were there, in fact. Goggs, I don't think you made it to that one, but or if you were, I apologize if I'm wrong. But I know at least three of us were at that in 2013. I was lecturing that year on my book, The UFO Singularity. The skeptical bloggers, Robert Schaefer, of course, who I've spoken with a few times in the past, he was there. But a lot of the skeptical bloggers were talking about, you know, the issues that different people were bringing up at the conference. And there was this big hubbub about, are we seeing the end of ufology? Is the field eating itself? We've seen this whole issue with Bigelow and all these things with MUFON. You know, it's just collapsing in on itself. And I'm thinking, but that's always what people from outside the circles of UFO research have to say.
Micah, they have been saying that for 40 years.
Yeah.
They've been saying the same thing. The UFO field is failing. People have given it up. They're not interested. And then, of course, you have a couple of sightings get into the papers, and it's back there again. And we seem to forget here that in 2012 and 2013, there were numerous UFO sightings around the world. So maybe we don't have millennials going to UFO conventions, but a lot of people are sure seeing them.
Look at the Stephenville case, you know, from a few years ago, Stephenville, Texas. I actually had I consider a very good photograph that was sent along to me by a friend who had been contacted by a police officer in the area. And he told an incredible story. The story went like this, that he and his partner were traveling on in their police car. They said that there was dash cam video of this that they were not entitled at that time to release. And to my knowledge, it was never released. But what they said was that they were responding to a report of lights in a field within the vicinity of Stephenville, Texas. As they're driving out, they see two orange orbs kind of hovering over this wide area. And they get out of the car. Now, it is pretty standard that in many cases, police officers do keep cameras with them. There was a case back in 2000, I think, in southern Illinois that involved multiple police departments chasing one of these large triangle aircraft similar to those that were reported over Stephenville back in, I think, was it 2008, guys? I think it was 2008. Yeah. So in this instance, yes, this police officer also had a camera. They say as they watch these orange orbs begin to ascend upward as they come up within, you know, just a few, maybe feet, few yards of them, they get out of the car and they're ascending upward toward another object, a large triangular craft with three points of light on the corners that's also ascending upward. And as it is ascending at a high rate of speed, they say that the orange orbs travel upward and connect with it, which, let's point out, is consistent with the Belgian Triangle cases from the 1990s. and the idea that there are these independently moving orbs that will ascend toward and move independently with and then later rejoin the center portion of the base of one of these triangular craft, is, whatever that technology is, whoever's that is, it seems extremely exotic, extremely advanced. And there were pretty good photographs taken of this that were sent along to me, which, of course, I've published at GraylianReport.com. What's even more compelling is that this was a police officer purportedly who was saying that, and he remained anonymous, and that's the big problem that we face, of course, in this field, is that great photograph, great story, and a person who, by virtue of his position with police, couldn't talk about his what had actually happened and give his actual name as a member of law enforcement. But so many aspects of that were consistent with what was already being reported. Angela Joyner had been commenting on this back down there at the time this was happening, which some say even led to her losing her job as a reporter. And it was consistent with other cases where these large triangles have been seen, 2000 in Illinois, the 1990s in Belgium. So certainly there are cases that are better representations than the ambiguous lights that the mainstream media constantly tries to, you know, force feed us and call them UFOs. And I think that that's where a lot of the laugh factor comes from, is that maybe with the saturation of media today and the availability of it worldwide on the web, the stuff that we are given and told is, oh, here's a UFO, it's hardly the best representation of the phenomenon.
One of the big problems we see here, of course, is the emphasis, and we're guilty of it, the emphasis on these classic cases. So it's all about Roswell, and of course, we'll get into it later, when James Carrion did his book, The Rosetta Deception. And by the way, he's offering it free at his website right now, and there's a link in our forums if you want to get a copy. If you bought a copy already, he's not going to send you a refund for a printed copy, but he's got the ebook version he's offering free. The key here is he's talking about efforts during and after World War II to engage in disinformation, primarily to impact the Russians. But the point here is that maybe some of the early UFO events were not real. They were test aircraft. They were real in that sense, but they weren't spaceships or anything unusual. And we're still focusing a lot on that, but we have to come back to all the sightings people have reported in recent years. There's a big number of UFO cases from Canada, where I saw one in which some children had this very detailed drawing of the craft that they saw. And it's pretty clear from the description it's not conventional, and it's not a military test aircraft, I wouldn't think. Maybe that happened with the early UFO cases that kind of got this field started off, but not now. But unfortunately, we continue to have to focus on that. And reality TV shows about UFOs also focus heavily on the stuff that isn't always credible. We've got Micah Hanks, who's credible. We've got Gene and Chris and Goggs in
the Paracast.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
I didn't believe it.
Neither did I.
No way could you professionally remove unwanted hair, pain-free, and at home.
My thoughts exactly.
Remove my face and body hair without expensive, painful office visits?
Not possible. Great minds think alike.
Until I tried No-No Pro.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you tried No-No?
Yes, and it works. I use it on my face, legs, bikini line.
We're BFFs, and you didn't tell me about No-No?
Here, this is my new No-No Pro. The most powerful No-No made. Custom treatment levels, less hair and less time. Perfect for any skin type. Try it.
No hair, no pain, no time time-consuming expensive office visits?
No. No. And no-no.
For a limited time, you can try No-No Pro risk-free. You'll also get the facial kit and a travel case. Get weeks of long-lasting results.
That's it. I'm getting a no-no.
Great minds do think alike.
Try No-No Pro risk-free by calling 800-952-5760. 800-952-5760. That's 800-952-5760. 800-952-5760.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Gogs McKay joins Gene and Chris in the Paracast with Micah Hanks, and we're talking about, I don't know, ain't it awful, the sad state of ufology? Is that what it's all about?
Somewhat.
Yeah. Well, there's, you know, I'd like to kind of chime in here quickly. I also see the detrimental blurring of the lines with some of these CGI hoaxes that are being touted as real by unscrupulous websites. I think that we're seeing the rise of a kind of a mythological version of these images. And what I mean by that is I think many of these hoaxes are easy to spot because they are fanciful, creations based on a pop culture view of these objects. And it's very simple, I think, to see the real objects versus the hoaxed ones, because the real objects are showing the effect that they're having on the environment, whether it's in the air or on, in any sort of sighting relationship with the viewer. You're seeing ionization, you're seeing plasma type effects. There's Ray Stanford has identified these ghost images that seem to indicate some sort of time compression. These hoaxed videos are kind of based on a pop culture view that we've been sort of maintaining since the 50s of your hubcap style UFO. Some of these hoaxes are getting much more fantasy prone and fanciful, but my point is that we're seeing a blurring of the lines. I don't think that this is doing the field any good. I think we're being oversaturated with images that to the average person may or may not be real. And to the researcher, it's just creating way more noise than necessary, and it's harder and harder to find the signal and wade through all that noise. What do you guys think?
Well, I just want to say really quickly, that is a spot-on analysis right there, Chris. I couldn't agree more. I talked about that in the UFO Singularity. And, you know, being somebody who moderates a website like the Grayling Report, where I try to feature news about this kind of thing, and I try to feature quality content, sometimes it's lighthearted. I try not to take myself too seriously. But I even worry sometimes because of the saturation and the fact that we're being inundated with so much of this. Now, when it comes to a mythology of what we see in the literature being represented in hoaxes, yeah, that's a great assessment of the situation. And furthermore, I think that that's also one of the best indications of what is likely a hoax, because you got to take into consideration. I was a fan of Sherlock Holmes when I was a kid, still am, and read all the stories. I'm a big fan of trying to apply the science of deduction or scientific logic and scientific methodology to assessment and analysis of virtually all things. But let's do UFOs right now. If there is a technology that is so readily available, which obviously there is not, hence the, you know, the issue that we have with trying to properly document it, we would have to presume if it were easily documentable and everybody were seeing these things, that these things wanted to be seen, because a technology with this kind of advancement that it seems apparent with the UFO phenomenon in the best nuts and bolts cases, okay, I think would have to also be capable of what we're already trying to do. And from if we, and I hope not to anthropomorphize this too much by stating it in this way, but if we have the technology to use jamming programs and stealth technologies to make it less evident when we are flying through the air in, you know, million-dollar aircraft and things like this, I would presume that a technology is as advanced as the UFO phenomenon appears to be would do the same, although that could indeed be a slightly human kind of a perspective on things. These, whatever these are, and I like to think that a majority of them maybe are earthly vessels and terrestrial technologies. Maybe they aren't all, but you know, we have to be careful, because in the event that some of them are not, we can't suppose that there's going to be a human approach to logic as we would employ it. But I have to presume that if there are some of these that are perhaps earthbound or terrestrial origin vessels, that probably stealth would be employed. And hence, if a hoax shows up that shows something that appears too good to be true, it probably is, because it defies the logic that we would hope would be present in conjunction with the operation of such craft.
Well, don't you think, Micah, that we really don't have a set of rules yet?
No, we don't.
As to what UFOs are. I mean, we're sitting here, what, more than six decades after Kenneth Arnold's UFO sighting. And we could still really talk about the possibility that what he saw was test aircraft, and that the reaction to that sighting came as a matter more of timing and maybe the approach taken by journalists more than the value of the case. And as a result, we had this early mythology that took us to places where we may not have otherwise visited. Not to say there wasn't a real phenomenon, but that kind of muddied the waters early on.
Well, I was just agreeing with Gene on that. I think that, you know, we're still seeing the repercussions and the echoes of those early images from the day the Earth stood still, and some of the, you know, the, what was that, flying saucers invade the Earth or whatever, where you had the big discs going into D.C., flying down the streets and knocking over the Washington Monument.
Earth versus the flying saucers.
Right.
The one with Ray Harryhausen, special effects, influenced by a major Donald Kehoe book that they bought. And Kehoe was forever disenchanted and embarrassed. Go on.
Well, you know, guys, I'll say this. What we end up with as a result of all that is a phenomenon whose reputation precedes it, okay? In other words, the expectations that the media and that the silver screen have projected onto what we presume space vehicles will be like actually forever colors, I think, what is actually reported. Not to say that there aren't good reports of, you know, disc-shaped or even saucer-shaped craft, but, you know, very concisely and quickly, we can say about Kenneth Arnold that what he reported initially is not what, over the course of maybe a few weeks or a few months, he later said that he had seen. And the whole saucer thing, I do think, really stems from the journalists in his description of seeing objects that flew erratically like saucers skipping across water. That's where the whole flying saucer meme initially originated. The problem is, weeks and months later, even Kenneth Arnold was saying, well, I think that some of the craft were disc-shaped. At least one of them, he said, was still that original flying wing kind of shape that he had initially, I think, said that they all were. So, and there's studies, guys, that show psychologically that a person typically will update their memories, and they aren't lying. It's just that as memory, of course, you know, fails from time to time, we tend to update memories and things that we once saw and perceived. As we remember it later, it is a little different, and it changes in our mind over time.
Yeah. This is why the research into Roswell is so difficult, because the actual pursuit after the initial event occurred 30 years later, and trying to put that together in relationship to what really happened is really difficult. I had 30 years to live with science fiction films, Star Trek, UFOs, etc., etc.
Yeah. Again, the reputation precedes the actual phenomenon. And hence, you know, our perception is somewhat colored. You know, Roswell, again, is an interesting one. I think that my colleague, Dr. John Ward, had said to me on one occasion when I was trying to make a case for, you know, being, I think, UFO research having a greater presence at an event like Paradigm Symposium, which, you know, just for the record, I'm still involved with. I'm no longer one of the chief coordinators. I like participating in and planning events, but, you know, research is really what's key to me. Scotty and John are still carrying that on, good men that they are. And at one point when I tried to, you know, argue for why we couldn't have more UFO discussion at an event like Paradigm Symposium, John's response, and I think it's an honest response for someone who isn't maybe any more than peripherally interested in UFOs, his response was, "But brother, how much more can we say about Roswell?" And I'm thinking, this is the problem. That we have a case that, to me, is extremely nebulous, especially after all the information that's been amassed over the years. And yet this is a fundamental evidence for people, basically outside the UFO community, or maybe a representation, I should say, of what UFOs are. To a lot of people, you say UFOs, and they think about a disc crash landing in Roswell in 1947. There's a lot more that could be said about that case, and maybe a lot less that I think is truly representative of ufology.
Well, without going into detail, there is a lengthy discussion thread on our forums where someone is claiming that one of the early alloys, the memory metal, nickel, titanium, that kind of thing, that maybe that was influenced by ET technology. And the logic I came to was, if you're going to say that anything in our developmental history was influenced by ET technology, first, look at the history, take E.T. or Roswell out of the equation and see if the logic of the history and the theory fits. And if it does, end of story. We'll see what happens. And still, if you want to get in touch with us here at the PowerCast, the best way to do so is to write us news@thepowercast.com. Once again, that's news@thepowercast.com. Or send us a tweet. On Twitter, we're known as The PowerCast. We are The PowerCast on Twitter. We have Gogs and Chris and Gene with Micah Hanks. You're in
The PowerCast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Next to water and food, you need a safe, storable fuel supply for your preparedness needs. Spare Fuel is the answer. Spare Fuel can be used in any gas-powered vehicle or generator. Spare Fuel is perfect for any unforeseen out-of-gas emergencies. Unlike gasoline, Spare Fuel is safe to store with your other supplies, and it can be stored for many years. Go to GetSpareFuel.com for special pricing. That's GetSpareFuel.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Whoa! This is
big.
By popular demand, the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale has been extended. Now through August, save 30 to 45% on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Now is the time to stock up on all factory fresh stock of the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45%. But hurry, supplies are limited, so this sale is only through the end of August. Call 866-404-3666. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguide.com. Hurry! The giant factory authorized Mountain House sale with savings of 30 to 45% is extended through August from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.